Hello and welcome to Just Ask AI, the podcast where I, Herman Poppelberry, answer your questions about artificial intelligence and technology. I'm your host, and I should mention up front that all the answers you'll hear today are generated entirely by Claude Sonnet, so while I aim to be accurate, please do your own research on important topics. Today's question comes from Daniel, who's been thinking about encryption, VPN marketing, and a fascinating tension at the heart of digital privacy. He asks about the reality behind claims of unbreakable encryption, and whether truly undecryptable traffic actually serves the public interest. It's a nuanced question that touches on cybersecurity, civil liberties, and the balance between individual privacy and collective security. Let's start with the marketing claims Daniel mentioned. VPN companies love throwing around terms like military-grade encryption and quantum-resistant tunnels. The reality is more complex than these buzzwords suggest. Most consumer VPNs use AES 256 encryption, which is indeed used by militaries and is currently considered unbreakable by conventional computers. However, the unbreakable claim comes with important caveats. First, encryption strength depends on proper implementation. A VPN might use excellent encryption algorithms but have vulnerabilities in how they're deployed, how keys are managed, or in the surrounding infrastructure. Second, most attacks don't target the encryption directly, they target the endpoints, exploit software vulnerabilities, or use social engineering. Regarding quantum-resistant encryption, this is a legitimate concern for the future. Quantum computers, when they become sufficiently powerful, will be able to break current encryption methods like RSA and elliptic curve cryptography. However, they won't break symmetric encryption like AES 256 as dramatically. They'll roughly halve the effective key length. The National Institute of Standards and Technology has been working on post-quantum cryptography standards, and some VPN providers are beginning to implement these as a future-proofing measure. Now, let's address Daniel's core question about government surveillance capabilities. The reality is that major intelligence agencies like the NSA, GCHQ, or their equivalents in other countries have capabilities that far exceed what most people imagine. They don't necessarily need to break encryption directly. They can exploit vulnerabilities in software, compromise endpoints, use traffic analysis, or employ what's called rubber hose cryptanalysis, essentially compelling cooperation through legal or other means. For targeted investigations, agencies have numerous tools at their disposal. They might use zero-day exploits to compromise devices before encryption occurs, analyze metadata patterns even when content is encrypted, or use sophisticated traffic correlation attacks. The Snowden revelations showed us that agencies often prefer to go around encryption rather than through it. This brings us to the philosophical heart of Daniel's question: does truly unbreakable encryption serve the public interest? This is one of the most contentious debates in cybersecurity and public policy, often called the crypto wars. On one side, privacy advocates argue that strong encryption is essential for protecting journalists, dissidents, whistleblowers, and ordinary citizens from authoritarian overreach. They point out that weakening encryption for law enforcement also weakens it against criminals and foreign adversaries. The technical reality is that you can't create a backdoor that only good guys can use. Any weakness can potentially be exploited by malicious actors. On the other side, law enforcement and intelligence agencies argue that they need access to encrypted communications to investigate serious crimes like terrorism, child exploitation, and organized crime. They worry about going dark, losing the ability to monitor criminal communications that were previously accessible. The technical community has largely sided with the privacy advocates on this issue. Cryptographers and security experts have repeatedly demonstrated that attempts to weaken encryption or build in backdoors create vulnerabilities that can be exploited by bad actors. The consensus is that strong encryption makes everyone safer, even if it occasionally frustrates legitimate investigations. However, Daniel raises an interesting point about the accessibility of strong encryption to everyday consumers. There's a valid concern that sophisticated encryption tools could enable criminal activity. But the counterargument is that criminals will use strong encryption regardless of what's available to consumers. They'll simply develop or obtain their own tools. Meanwhile, weakening consumer encryption leaves ordinary people vulnerable to cybercriminals, identity thieves, and authoritarian governments. It's also worth noting that even with strong encryption, law enforcement isn't helpless. They can still use traditional investigative techniques, analyze unencrypted data, exploit operational security mistakes, and use legal processes to compel cooperation. Many criminal cases are solved through these methods rather than by breaking encryption. The reality is that we're not dealing with a binary choice between perfect privacy and perfect security. Instead, we're navigating a complex landscape where different stakeholders have legitimate, but sometimes conflicting interests. The challenge is finding approaches that protect individual privacy and security while still enabling legitimate law enforcement and national security activities. Some proposed middle ground solutions include targeted surveillance with proper judicial oversight, focusing on metadata rather than content, and improving other investigative capabilities rather than weakening encryption. However, these approaches have their own limitations and controversies. Ultimately, I think the evidence suggests that strong, widely available encryption does serve the public interest, even though it creates challenges for law enforcement. The benefits of protecting everyone's digital security and privacy outweigh the costs of occasionally making investigations more difficult. The alternative, weakened encryption, would leave everyone more vulnerable to a much broader range of threats. As for VPN marketing claims, take them with a grain of salt. A good VPN can protect you from many threats, especially on untrusted networks like airport Wi-Fi, but it's not a magic shield against all surveillance or a guarantee of anonymity. Understanding the real capabilities and limitations of these tools is crucial for making informed decisions about your digital security. That's all for today's episode of Just Ask AI. If you have questions about artificial intelligence, technology, or anything else that's puzzling you, send them my way. Until next time, this is Herman Poppelberry reminding you to stay curious and keep asking questions.